In just a few days, we will welcome 2018, another year and a fresh start for many of us. And at that time, nearly 42% of the population will make some kind of New Year's resolution. But have we ever stopped to think about where the practice came from?
First, you go back to ancient Babylon, which is about 4,000 years ago. The Babylonians have been the first people to make these New Year's resolutions.
That's Sarah Pruitt from the History Channel. And as she tells it, the Babylonians had some company as the pioneers of these resolutions.
The Romans also offered sacrifices and made promises to the gods for the new year. Early Christians decided on the first day of the new year as the traditional occasion for looking over the past year, looking at one's mistakes, and resolving to do better in the future. And around 1740, John Wesley, who was the founder of Methodism, created a type of service known as a covenant renewal service or watch night services. And these were most commonly held on either New Year's Day or New Year's Eve. This sort of, instead of the raucous celebrations previously held, this was more of a spiritual celebration, looking to make resolutions for the next year and promise to pray and be better in the coming year.
Now, do you notice anything similar about those three groups of people? They're all related to religion, but religion doesn't play a big part in our New Year's resolutions. People don't make New Year's resolutions to God very often. Rather, we make resolutions to self. So how has religion become void in our current day resolutions?
In the last 50 years or so, as sort of self-improvement has become a kind of religion, if you will, that's when resolutions have really come to have their current stature in our society. So instead of spiritual, you know, looking back at the past and resolving to be better, a better person, or in a spiritual sense, it's more focusing on specific ways to improve oneself.
While it's impressive that over 40% of Americans make some kind of New Year's resolution, what's even more staggering is that according to Forbes, just 8% of people claim to achieve their goal. So perhaps the issue isn't with the practice itself, but rather how we interpret success. That's the belief that Alicia Adamczyk of Time.com holds. And she told me that last year, one of her resolutions lasted a grand total of 24 hours.
We made on staff a bunch of money resolutions. So mine, I think it was for a month or something, I was going to bring my lunch every day or more often. I think I failed that like the very first day of work in 2017. And it wasn't like I forgot, like I knew going into work that day that I didn't bring a lunch with me or anything like that. To me personally, it wasn't like super important to me. And so it was easy to just kind of forget it or be like, oh, I'll start tomorrow or I'll start next week. I completely forgot about it.
Seems like that would be the easiest case to chalk up a New Year's resolution as a failure. But that's not what Alicia did. Despite doing the very thing she proposed not to do on January 1st, she maintained a positive mindset about her resolution.
I don't want to look at it that way because I think once you do that and then you get it in this negative mindset, okay, you get yourself in that negative mindset, and then it's just so much harder to dig yourself out of it and, you know, work toward a different goal or, like, you know, go back to that goal. Just because I didn't bring my lunch then doesn't mean that I will never be able to in the future. Just because I couldn't save that, you know, $7 a day or whatever doesn't mean I'll never be able to do that again. And so I think it's important to, like, not beat yourself up when you don't succeed right at the beginning.
So perhaps a large contributing factor to just an 8% success rate is the fact that as a culture, we are attempting to label these resolutions as a success or a failure far too quickly.
We weren't always this way. We weren't focused on like, okay, a new year starts now, new me, I'm going to do X a year. People used to think much more long term about things. It was years and years they were thinking of. I think that's a healthier way to think about it, because if you just think about it in this that time frame, that in the course of your life probably doesn't mean that much. You know, you're kind of setting yourself up to beat yourself up about it, get stressed about it, probably fail if it doesn't happen and then feel really bad. So I think just thinking about it more holistically in the course of your life is, at least for me, what I've been trying to do.
Now, if we are willing to rethink the way that we perceive success, should we also be willing to rethink the way that we are setting these goals? To help flesh out this theory, I paid a visit to Dr. Sarah Wolf King, psychology professor at Syracuse University. She's worked for years helping clients set and achieve goals, and she walked me through a little bit of her approach to healthy goal setting.
Health psychologists often advise people to set what we call SMART goals. So these goals are specific, they're measurable, they're attainable, results focused. So these differ from general goals that people tend to set, which is like something like, I want to lose 10 pounds. A SMART goal related to that larger goal would be something like, in order to incorporate exercise into my daily routine, I'm going to walk to work twice a week for the next 3 weeks. So that's something that is a smaller iteration of the larger goal that can sort of shape you towards successively attaining your goal of losing 10 pounds. It's very deliberate, and it's important for it to be attainable because you want to, what we psychologists sometimes refer to as shape your behavior. So you want to shape successive approximations of the desired goal.
And while it may seem a bit elementary, Dr. King also brings up that having the proper mindset can go a long way to achieving your goal.
Generally, framing a goal in terms of what you want to do rather than what you want to stop doing can be helpful. A way of thinking about this is reinforcing the positive opposite of the behavior that you want to stop. So say you want to stop eating pizza 5 nights a week. You might frame that goal as, I want to cook a healthy meal 3 times a week. So that's you're identifying a behavior that's the opposite of the behavior that you're currently doing that you want to change.
And if you've struggled with New Year's resolutions in the past, but you believe things are about to change now as you enter a new phase of life, I hate to break it to you, but the challenges remain the same even as we age.
The process for successful goal setting, I don't think differs by age. I think you'd use the same tools and the same concepts to set a goal at any age. It would just be the content of what that goal is would change depending on your life phase. And that's actually something we do frequently when goal setting with clients is we have the client generate the goal for themselves. We don't tell them what they should be doing. The idea for the goal comes from the client, and that's really the most important part. And then we use the same process and tools for help shaping behavior towards that goal.
In just a few days, 2018 will be here, and with it, millions of New Year's resolutions. If you are one of those making a resolution, just remember, it's important to set a SMART goal, keep your expectations realistic, and don't be afraid to adjust that goal throughout the year. Kevin Claus, WAER News.